Today on the Travel Guys.
A Northern California landmark gets a safety net. I mean a real safety net, not a monetary one. And George Lucas says, not so much to Northern California. Details in the travel news.
At 3:15, we introduce you to a lady whose travels to Africa have become her passion. You'll hear her story and find out how you can become part of the dream.
Well, it's definitely summer and everyone likes some sort of barbecue. And at 3:35, we have a list of some of the favorite barbecue spots in the country. And Steve LaRosa will join us to talk about some local joints.
That kind of explains why he's hanging around outside.
Yeah,
huh? Yeah. 3:50, Gwen Duncan is here to update us on some changes in TSA fees on your airline ticket. Grab your ankles and kiss your...
Wait a minute. We have the first two winners of our Travel Guys Magic Bus, plus details on how you can win on the show, or just dig into your wallet and pay your own way.
All that as you head down the road on a sizzling Sunday afternoon with the Travel Guys.
On the road again, just can't wait to get on the road again. I'm a traveling man, king of the road, riding on the city of New Orleans.
Kicks, I want a Route 66.
That's entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
You bet. It's that time again. Time for another Travel Guys radio show brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Here's Mark Hoffman to my left. I'm Tom Romano. Studio full of great guests today. We're going to have a fun shoe. Yes.
Wait a minute.
I'm sorry.
Turn me on here. That's all right.
I turned your mic off earlier.
Yeah,
I was thinking I could do a solo thing.
Know what makes this show different from most Travel Guys radio shows?
I can think of a lot. Which one are you thinking of?
You always get on and you say, I'm here and Mark Hoffman is there. And a lot of times people don't know this, but Mark Hoffman really isn't there because he's somewhere else or
oftentimes,
the show's on tape or something
like that.
But as a
rule, I will try to identify
with
part of it.
But today, we're actually both here in the studio.
In studio.
Live looking at cars going by outside on the freeway. And here we are all with lots of live guests. And did you hear that lovely female voice doing the news, Mary West.
Mary West, yes. Welcome to the weekend's Mary. Nice
job.
Yeah,
it was just nice. We used to have a lady who did our news on the weekends, and now we're back to having a lady. We had a lady traffic reporter, too.
Well, what happens a lot of times to the fine folks on the weekend is they get promoted up. And
yeah,
they go to work full-time and during the weekdays.
It's bad news. When we have good people, we need for them to stay here with us on the weekends. They can't go off and make more money and fame and fortune and stuff like that during the week. I mean, really and truly, there's that LaRosa guy we were talking about before.
Welcome, Steve. Going to barbecue with us a little bit later on, right?
I'm here, accounted, present, and accounted for.
Okay. Probably didn't hear that, but no, that's okay.
That's okay. Anyways, how have you been this week, sir?
Had a fabulous week, all in all, you know, everything went well. Yourself, yeah, I understand you were out of town for a while.
I was finishing up a trip to the East Coast, was back in Washington, D.C., being a citizen lobbyist during the week, and then went Friday night, made a quick little trip up to Portland because there's a farmer's market in Vancouver I'm terribly in love with, to get fresh berries and stuff and haul those back yesterday, but also to see the Tiny House Hotel. That was a guest. Deb was a guest on
yes.
our program a month or so ago.
Yes.
And so I went up there, met her partner, and got to see the Tiny House Hotel, which is indeed very tiny, on a little tiny lot in the Alberta Art District in Portland. And it's really very interesting, Tom. It's six little houses on wheels.
I'm going to put you on the spot now.
Yes.
I know you've been talking and you mentioned on the show that particular day that you were hoping to maybe put together a sports leisure vacations trip and allow some of your travelers to go there and stay. How's that working out?
I would say we are one step closer to that happening. I see no reason why the Tiny House Hotel won't have the tiniest tours there. Soon we're going to hook it up to a food tour in Portland.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had the food tour lady from Seattle on a couple weeks ago, Savor Seattle. So we're going to hook it up with a food tour in Portland and go up and have just maybe a little overnight trip and stay in the Tiny House Hotel with tiny tour groups coming soon. You stay tuned to the Travel Guys and you'll find out about it. You know, we had a great response during the week to our Magic Bus contest online. I brought out during the news at the bottom of the hour, you and I are going to pick the winner. I brought the five or six best. My staff decided what the best entries were.
Okay.
So you and I we have the finalists, so we'll decide who the winner is, and then next week we're going to give away some seats on the air and then tell folks how, if they would like to pay their way on, they can also find out how they can join us if they'd like to dig into the pocket and pay to get on the bus.
And if you'd like to know more about what we're talking about, go to travelguysradio.com. Check last week's show. We had an interview with Abe, is it?
Yeah.
With the Magic Bus, and you can find out more about what that is and a link to the website and get you all excited about traveling with us in August. Okay, let's move on. Got lots to do today. Let's start off with the travel news.
A little bit of travel news here. We've got just a few items today. Kind of a quiet week in the world of travel because it's summer and, well, everybody's traveling. Hey, listen here, Tom. This is a cool new thing. You can have a robot valet park your car.
No.
Yeah. Well, you have to be flying out of the Dusseldorf airport in Germany. It's the only place this is available so far. But coming soon to an airport near you, you just drive your car up into this thing. Looks like kind of one of those automatic car wash dealies, you know, where you position your car and the light comes on and says, stop, turn off the engine,
right.
You know, relax.
Is this going to pick your car up and stick it in
a slot? It's going to pick your car up and take it and stick it in a storage slot. And when you come back, you're going to enter the number in the machine that it tells you where the car is stored, and it's going to go get your car and bring it back to
you. Yeah, there was a Will Smith sci-fi movie, iRobot, I think it was what it was. And in that movie, it was driving a modern-day version or a futuristic version of an Audi. And he pulls into a garage, and they picked up the car, and they turned it sideways and stuck it in a slot.
Well, the future is now, baby, if you're going to Dusseldorf. All right, George Lucas said, I don't know if you knew this, Tom, but he was looking for a home for his Star Wars museum. It's going to be called the Lucas Museum of Narrative Art.
Not in Modesto?
Apparently, the finalists, not Modesto, were Chicago, Los Angeles, and San Francisco as the future home, and he chose Chicago.
Wow, that's
much probably
bizarre.
To the regret of all of the Star Wars fans in California.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
The museum is going to be in San Francisco, is going to be in Chicago. Mayor Rahm Emanuel was delighted. He says George Lucas has revolutionized the art of storytelling over the last four decades, and we are honored to be the recipient of this incredible legacy investment that will allow everyone to learn about and experience narrative arts. So,
Well, here's a footnote that means little or nothing because I wasn't able to influence him, but George Lucas and I went to high school together.
Really?
Yes.
In Modesto.
I'll tell you what, I'll get you a photograph.
Oh, that's right. You told me this story.
From my yearbook, and we'll put it on the Travel Guys page, my brush with fame.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't famous then, he was the school nerd.
Yeah, well, there you go. And
see
finally,
how that turns out for you, huh?
It's sometime, everything works out, I guess, exactly the way it's supposed to. He's making more money than you are now.
You're not
nerdy as him,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, just barely.
Just barely.
Just a little bit more.
Yeah. Where's the Tom Romano Museum going to be?
Probably Rancho Cordova.
Rancho Cordova.
Yeah.
One last story here. We mentioned in the teasers and the headlines that we had a safety net for a U.S. landmark. And indeed, Tom, you've gone down to the Golden Gate Bridge, right? You've walked across it, I'm sure.
Right, yep. I know exactly what you're talking
they
about.
They are going to spend $76 million to put a suicide net underneath the bridge. I didn't know this. Last year, they had a record 46 people jump off the bridge. They had more than that jump. That's how many didn't live to tell about it. 1,400 people since it opened in the late 30s have jumped off that bridge to their death.
The question is, I mean, they'll put the safety net, but
right.
Those that are inclined to want to do this probably are just going to find somebody else, some other place.
Well, they
to
probably
do it.
Will, but I guess the idea is that they don't want people in San Francisco and people involved in tourism don't want this iconic landmark to be associated and all these people that, you know, have lost family members and stuff. Now, here's the scenario. This is how sick my mind is.
All right, go ahead.
Here's the scenario that somebody goes and they say, well, the heck with it. I don't know if that net really works. I'm going to try it. And they jump, and now they're caught in the net underneath. Now, who goes and gets them?
At a cost to them. They're going to get run up.
They go down
for that.
There and just cut a hole in the net, and the person plops out into a double safety net or something. I don't know. It was just
look
something.
Look that up online.
Yeah,
get back to me on that.
It was just important.
You?
But people would say, why would that be on a travel program? Well, because from all over the world, people come to the Golden Gate Bridge. And the problem with this net was that people felt it would detract from the appearance of the bridge. Never mind that 1,700 people had jumped off of it, but that it would detract from the appearance. So now they figured out a way, apparently, to get this underneath the bridge. Now they don't have to raise the guardrails, so people can now jump. They just aren't going to get very far. So there you have it, and that is the travel news for today.
All right, what do we got coming up here in just a few minutes after a very short break? Well, we're going to go to Africa, so to speak, and if you have an interest in Africa travel, or for instance, for that matter, a great fundraising event, We'll have it for you. That's about 3.5 minutes away right here on the Travel Guys. We are back. It's the Travel Guys on KFBK, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. I'm Tom Romano, Mark Hoffman to my left in studio today. Mark, got a super, super guest, Gala, actually, as I was looking at her and her flyer. I remember meeting you in the hallway when you came in to visit with Kitty O'Neill to promote your upcoming event, which we'll be talking about shortly. So it's certainly good to see you again. You're somewhat of a local celebrity, been around the media market for a number of years. Mark?
Are you just going to introduce this lady, or no, what are you going to
do? I'll let you go ahead and tell folks about
Carol. I didn't know that you and Carol had a personal thing going on. Does your wife know about this?
There's little, you know, a little you don't know about us, Mark. I we won't talk about that right
see,
now.
Well,
we have not dated lately.
No, I see.
My husband would not approve.
Neither
would. Way too young for me.
Oh, goodness gracious. Joining us in studio is Carol Van Bruggen. Carol and I were, I wish I could see you, Carol, but there's a big screen in between you and I. So
you can imagine me.
There you go. Carol and I used to be on the board of directors of the Arts and Business Council. Carol was chairman of the board for a couple of years, and we've been Sports Leisure Vacations has been a supporter of that group. So that's how we met. And Carol has a huge passion for Africa. And we were talking before you went on the air. Carol, you went to Africa as a tourist, you told me, a dozen or so years ago?
I think I went there in 2001. It was a gift from my husband. Oh, there I can see you, Mark.
There we go.
I went on safari, like a lot of people do, visited South Africa, Zimbabwe, Botswana, Zambia, and I was hooked, and went back again less than a year later, and entered Zambia for a longer stay, and the rest is history. I've been back 22 times. I started a nonprofit in 2008. I still have my business here, but my financial advisory firm. But I am. You said passionate. I think it's obsession.
Did you go to see the animals and fall in love with the people?
That was exactly what I did. Mm-hmm. I still love the animals, and our mission is to educate the next generation of young Africans so that they will appreciate the animals and the wonderful the wildlife and their natural resources they have there.
How many times have you been to Africa?
I think I've been there 22 times. I'd have to count, but I was. Last year I was there three times, this year once.
What's the best thing about going to Africa, in your opinion?
The best thing, well, the people are fabulous, particularly Zambia. Now, Africa is a big continent, and people often say to me, oh, well, I've been to Africa, and you've got to look in on my friend who's in Uganda. Well, it's not exactly that close to Zambia, but the animals are amazing. The people are amazing, and it gives you a better appreciation as well of all the great things that we have in this country. But there's something magical about it, because I know many people have been back again and again.
What's the downside about a trip to Africa?
Well, it's a long way. We've arranged several safaris, and we always have to warn people. It's about 32 hours to fly to Lusaka, and there's several airlines that will go. You can go through lovely Dubai. You can go to London. You can go to Frankfurt.
Lots of ways to go, but it takes a long way to get there.
No matter how you look at it, it's 32 hours on a plane.
Carol, if someone was visiting for the first time, where would you recommend that they start?
Well, of course, I'd recommend Zambia, because that's where I do so much of my work. It's unspoiled. It's not crowded. You can do walking safaris there, and they have fabulous, and it's very safe. But I also think Namibia's wonderful. I have been there several times, and I think it's just a fabulous place, as well as Botswana. So
now, would you add Africa along with a trip to somewhere else? You mentioned it's 32 hours to get there. Would you suggest that maybe they do Dubai or stop somewhere on the way and spend a couple of days and take a break and get off the plane?
Well, when you go through Dubai, you do have to stop in, when you go through Dubai, you have to spend the night on the way there. And it's a good idea. Even when I went through London several times, I would always spend the night. So I think that gives you a break. It depends on how much time you have. Don't try to do it in 7 days. I really don't think that's a good idea. even some of the safaris that we put together. We'll tell them they're 10-day safaris, but we strongly recommend they get with their favorite travel.
Ooh, there's a Make Me a Smarter Traveler hidden travel tip right there.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, if you're going to Africa, what would you say, Carol? Is 2 weeks, is that enough?
I think 2 weeks, a lot of people don't have more than 2 weeks, but I think 2 weeks is at a minimum. And if you can go three, I strongly recommend it. Maybe go to South Africa, but get with your travel agent and put some extensions on there, because it is not something that you want to do in 7 days.
Cool. You have a special, now you went to Africa as a tourist,
mm-hmm.
and you fell in love with the people over there, and now you're dedicated to helping young Africans get a better education and a better start in the world. Explain your project.
Well, we do, we started Africa Hope Fund, africahopefund.org, if you're interested in finding out more about it. But we do a lot of education. We have a lot of education programs. We've supported a school. We find sponsors for children to go to secondary school, and we have several of those sponsors here in the Sacramento region. But everything that we do is tied to conservation. I'm actually a trustee on a organization that stops poaching. Elephant poaching has gone through the roof, and 40,000 elephants were killed in Southern Africa last year. So we are. We knew that we could do a lot of things to try to catch poachers, but they're going to continue to come, particularly now that poaching is funding a lot of terrorism. So we decided the only place that we could really make a difference long term was to educate young people. And so all of our students that have sponsors are required to go to the Conservation Club with an organization that we work with called Chippenbelly. And so we raise funds for education, but we also raise funds to help stop poaching.
So you have a big event coming up, a fundraising event called Safari on the River. You've done this before.
Yes, done it before. I didn't do it last year, but did it in 2012. It's quite an event. We have it at our marina, Jaluka Landing. And my husband and I have a marina on the Garden Highway, very close to downtown. You can find out information on safariontheriver.com. And we have all types of African food, African dancing, African music. It's outside. We have vintners. We have an amazing auction with a safari for auction and a lot of other trips to Las Vegas and all those.
Somebody is going to be able to, people will be able to bid on a safari.
On a safari.
And it looks to me like the master of ceremonies is our own Kitty O'Neill.
It is. She's come back again. She loves our projects, and she's always adds a lot to it. And by the way, we do have one of the auction items is a wine bus. It's hosted by David Sauvan, who's our auctioneer. And the bus is provided by Sports Leisure.
Imagine that. Well, that's it. That's what happens when you get in with these, you know, unscrupulous travel people.
You can't
get rid of
them.
All right. So, if you're interested in spending a night in Africa right here in Sacramento, now this would be a great way to support the project. If you're somebody who your wallet doesn't allow you to travel to Africa, or it's just too far for you to be able to get, you can go to safariontheriver.com, or better yet, you can go to travelguysradio.com, and we'll have the links for both. Both the African Hope Fund and Safari on the River, both right there for you. So, Carol, good luck with the project, both here in Sacramento and in Africa.
Thank you so much.
We want to make sure to remind folks the date is July the 20th. That's July the 20th, 4:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. It's going to be a great event. Again, that's travelguysradio.com, safariontheriver.com. There is a phone number. If you got a pen handy, we'll also post it on our website of 916-487-8700, 487-8700, extension 3. Who's extension 3?
That would be me.
Oh, look at you.
Yep.
Extension 3.
Thank you, Carol. Hey, Thomas, at the beginning of the program, I mentioned to you that there was something about this show that made it different from previous programs, and I was kidding you that we were both in the studio.
Yeah, go ahead.
There is something that makes this program different from previous programs. There's about half as much commercial time. So if you're listening to the Travel Guys today, you may notice that we are back quicker and the commercial breaks are shorter. And that's because of a wonderful deal that we worked out with the radio station here, which allows us for the next 6 months at least to have a smaller commercial load. And there is more travel guys, more babbling from Tom and Mark. Oh, joy, just what the world needed.
There you go.
I have a couple of other housekeeping things here before we go to the news. We have the Lucky Sports Leisure Traveler each week. Someone in Sports Leisure Traveler wins a $50 travel card. And this week it is Georgia McDonald is our lucky winner. She went to see Showboat on the 22nd of June with us. So, Georgia, if you call the Sports Leisure office Monday or Tuesday, your $50 gift card becomes a $100 gift card. I would say probably about two-thirds of the folks who win these either call the office or have a friend who is listening who tells them that their name has been said on the radio. But either way, Georgia McDonald has been traveling with my company for a long time, Tom, and is one of our favorite people. It gave me great joy today when I walked in and saw that her name was stuck up on the wall where the winning entry is stuck every week. So Georgia McDonald is our winner. And also next week, we're going to have a program and talk about ride sharing services, Lyft, Uber, all of those. I was in Washington, D.C. this week, experienced a taxi cab strike in relation to the shared car services and the cab drivers protesting the fact that these guys don't have the same regulatory things to go through that they do in the same insurance things. So what we would love to do is if you use one of those services, Uber, Lyft, any other one, give us a call here at 916-921-1530. We would love to have you on the air here with us next week. If you're a driver or a user of Uber service, or go to travelguysradio.com and drop us a little note and we'll get in touch with you.
It is not a commercial for those services. Mark has not taken his personal car and become an Uber guy.
Not yet.
So there you go. All right, we'll be back with your favorite barbecues.
Barbecue!
Mm-hmm. Coming up right here on The Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait.
Welcome back to The Travel Guys. Normally, I would not tell people that, you know, something else was going on because it might divert their attention, but to those of us who are baseball fans, you're decked out in your Giants regalia.
I am. This may be the last time for a while.
Mark Hoffman here with Tom Romano. We are the Travel Guys on KFBK. And Tom came in with all of his Giants gear on today because I'm guessing just out of desperation trying to pull
whatever
the guys out
do,
of it. But
it's
not working. They're down 5-0 in the ninth inning. And a lot of Cincinnati players are running around the bases. And the score, which was 1-0, is now 5-0. They're still batting. It's not pleasant.
But we should have done the spoiler alert. You know, that's what they do here to keep people that might be taping the game. Dana Hessel, they'll go, spoiler alert! And that'll give you a chance to turn your radio down.
I wouldn't want anyone to have to tape this and go home and be depressed for 3 hours. And they do run a replay, you know, every night that you can, so you can be depressed all over again. All right, we are the Travel Guys. It is summertime. We talked a few weeks ago on this program about really bizarre flavors of ice cream. Ice cream with snakes in them and crickets and all kinds of interesting flavors of like that you could get on all four corners of the world. And so I thought it would be fun to talk about, you know, when people travel, they eat. Of course, we eat whether we travel or not, duh. But when people travel, culinary things, sampling the food in different locations, and barbecue is something that is uniquely American. And if you go to Kansas City, you get one type of barbecue. You go to the Carolinas, you go to North Carolina, you get a different type of barbecue than if you go to South Carolina. You go to Mark's house, you get a different barbecue than if you go to Tom's house, I'm sure. You know, everybody has their own way of, do you put the sauce, when do you put the sauce on, and how much sauce do you use, and you know,
absolutely.
Just what does the sauce taste like, and does it have a kick or not, or does it kick you, and all of those important things.
And with that being said, we figured, well, we'd do two things. Number one, compile a list of top barbecue places around the country, which Mark is going to do. Mm-hmm. And we brought in our buddy Steve LaRosa, who is, well, he's been a food reviewer in the Sacramento area for many, many years, and thought we'd put him out on the street and start checking out some local barbecue joints and come back with a short list and then talk about it for a little bit. Stephen, welcome to the program.
Great to be back, fellas. This week, I did check out a couple of fairly new places, one very new and one that's been around for a couple of years.
Well, before we get to your locals, let's check out and see if you've been to any of these that Mark has on his list. of what are these, nationally?
These are nationally. Now, these are our friends at smartertravel.com. It's best barbecue joints in America. And in fact, this list that we're talking about, you can find by going to travelguysradio.com. There's a link that will take you to these. So if there's any of these that sound interesting to you, of course, Texas likes to think that they're the best at everything, including barbecue. It has become somewhat of a what are you looking at me
I'm just saying that, you know, I was smiling because I have a daughter who lives in Texas, and I have to say that...
it's true.
It is, and on top of that, it seems like every time you turn around in California, if you see a new barbecue place pop up, for whatever the reason, it's got the word Texas something.
Texas something.
Something Texas.
JR's Texas Barbecue right here in Sacramento.
Right.
JR's been... Steve, how long has JR been doing barbecue in this town? Did you review him
I did.
20 years ago?
Many
maybe?
Times. Many times. He made my top 10 one year. I think JR has been around, I'm going to guess, about almost 30 years, right around 30, give or take.
Yeah. Yeah,
there's a brand new place, I don't know its name, up in Lincoln, and the family there came from Texas. They brought their Texas barbecue recipe and have planted a right there in old downtown Lincoln and they're making a go of it. What do you got?
So if you go to Austin, Texas, you want to go to Franklin Barbecue. That's supposed to be the number one place, and it's mostly an outdoorish sort of place. Or you can go to the Pecan or the Pecan. Depends on how you like to say that there. Pecan Lodge, where they have brisket and fried chicken. That's in Dallas.
Mm.
Brisket and fried chicken. That sounds, I could just almost get up and go for that right now. You know, if you go, and we were talking about the Carolinas. Do you like, Steve, do you like mustard barbecue? Do you like mustard in your barbecue sauce?
I really don't.
Yeah,
no.
See, it's an acquired taste, and I don't mind it, but a lot of people don't particularly care for it. And you can... It depends on what part of the barbecue. Lexington Barbecue in the Carolinas, where we ate, a Sports Leisure Group ate there in December in Mount Airy.
On a scale of 1 to 10, Mark?
Oh, 9.5.
All right.
Yeah.
Did you say Mount Airy?
Mount Airy.
Like in Andy Griffith?
Andy Griffith's hometown. You absolutely betcha. There is a Lexington Barbecue there. It's kind of a ketchup-based, which is a little bit different than some of the Carolina sauces, but... I think it's a good one. In Savannah, they have a great barbecue place called Wiley's Championship Barbecue in Savannah. They have won all kinds of awards and stuff like that. If you go to Kansas City, then there, almost any barbecue place in Kansas City, you can't hardly go wrong. It's just a question of which ones are better than the others.
So Savannah, that's where Clayton knows all about, and
Kansas City
is where Mark knows all about.
Arthur Bryant's Barbecue in Kansas City, out by the old Negro Leagues Baseball Museum and the Jazz Museum in the old town part of Kansas City, is Arthur Bryant's, where they serve your food. The barbecue comes on a big piece of wax paper, and oh my goodness, it is informal. It is inexpensive, and it is good. And of course, in Memphis, you know, Memphis is famous for its ribs. I mean, if you're looking for ribs, Memphis is a great place. But there's, so it really depends on where you go. I mean, it really does depend on where you go. And Steve, in Sacramento, where did you go?
Well, in the last week or two, you guys, I made a couple of stops. The first one I'll talk about is called Momo's Meat Market. Now that's at the corner of 58th and Broadway, and
Momo's Meat Market.
Yeah, don't be fooled by the name, because it really is a restaurant, a number of tables inside. But the Glenn Miller, go ahead.
Okay.
His name is Glenn Miller. Glenn and Sharon Miller, just a lovely couple. They have this little restaurant there in a strip mall, and he's got a couple of smokers out front. Glenn used to be a butcher himself for a couple of decades here in town, and you can actually buy the meat raw there, but you can obviously go in and have barbecue at their establishment.
Now, that's a sign, Tom. To me, that's a sign of a winning barbecue place. Not only the guy's willing to sell you the meat and let you go do it yourself, but you know, if you trust him more than you trust yourself, why, then you can buy it right there.
I mean, now, the meat that you buy, is it already ready to go with the barbecue flavoring built in, or is it just raw meat? Unknown? Okay.
Tom, you're supposed to rehearse those questions before we go on.
I understand they do St. Louis-style ribs. Now, what does that mean?
Then we're talking about rub instead of, like Mark was talking earlier, that style is more about the rub than it is
the sauce.
The sauce,
okay.
Yeah. They also They feature hot links. Their hot links have a nice little bite to them. Tri-tip. I think my favorite was the boneless, skinless chicken they do because that had a lot of flavor to it.
Did they? Was that a barbecued chicken or was it just something that was done on the grill per se?
It was. I think it was done on the smoker.
Yeah. Wow.
And you know they got the typical down home sides like beans and rice and collard greens, pepper jack mac.
Let's put him on the spot, Tom. So on a scale of 1 to 10, what would you say Momo's Meat Market falls in at?
Oh, I'd give him about 8, 9, 10, somewhere in there.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was a real definitive answer.
I think one of the things I like the best there was they make the best candied yams there that I've ever had.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah,
With the brown sugar and,
and the cinnamon, yeah.
Yeah, really?
Really good.
Marshmallows on top by chance? No,
Not in the one I got. Yeah, okay. And they do a great peach cobbler, too.
Well, you know, part of a good barbecue oftentimes is the, you start with the meat, but you got to have the sides, you know, whether it's some beans
absolutely.
Or whatever. But I love the yams.
And that's right down the street from, that's fairly close to our neck of town.
It is.
It's not all open on Sunday, I'm noticing.
Momo's Meat Market.
And Fahrenheit 250 was another place you checked out.
Also did Fahrenheit 250. They just opened earlier this year.
Mm-hmm.
And they are located at 7042 Folsom Boulevard. Now, that number's not going to mean anything to anybody because Folsom Boulevard goes from here to forever, right?
But so, that's about 70th and Folsom, right?
Yeah, there is no 70th. So,
well, I know that.
You know, the train trestle there, you go underneath just past 65th and the 50 overpass. It's right in
between.
Yeah,
there's a bar there that's been there had 20 names in 30
used
years.
Used to be the Cattle Club. Where Kurt Cobain and No Doubt.
There was a music store over there for a while, too,
was it?
I think.
A music store?
Right? But that bar right there, now is that the location of Fahrenheit 250?
It is, yes.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
And they've done a heck of a job redecorating the place inside and out. It's pretty cool. They went out and they found a lot of found objects, so to speak, and they upcycled them. Everything from barnwood. They've got gym lockers, actually, and they've got windmills.
This sounds like
printers
a fun
cases.
Place.
They actually have they somehow ended up with the pews from the original Harlow's. If you guys remember back in the day,
from the outside doesn't look like a really large place.
It's surprisingly large inside.
Okay,
yeah, it really is. But they feature the dry rub Memphis style barbecue,
mm-hmm. right?
And they've got this huge smoker. It's about 7 feet tall, and they can do 1,000 pounds at a time.
Ooh.
And they can smoke their meats anywhere from 12 to 15 hours. But here's the funny part. There's somebody manning the smoker round the clock 24 hours a day.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. So give us we're running out of time here, Steve. We got about 30 seconds. Give us a rating for Fahrenheit 250.
Oh, I'd give them a 9 or 10.
You give them a 9. So it's just slightly better than Momo's, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, and if you're going to go there, my favorite was the tri-tip. I mean, this stuff was delicious, and you could cut it with a fork.
To me, tri-tip is what barbecue is graded on, Thomas.
Yeah.
To me, a good tri-tip is a sign, and I pride myself as being a little bit of a grill master, but tri-tip is something I don't mess with. You got to really know your stuff to cook a good tri-tip.
Well, I'm kind of a pulled pork kind of guy. I like that or the ribs.
Yeah.
And then you know, here again, ribs are somewhat what a lot of people think of as barbecue, traditional.
Well, and you got about 96 kinds of ribs. I mean, I'm a baby back ribs guy, but you know, St. Louis ribs sometimes, and then you know, with the sauces too and stuff. What do you like, Steve? What's your favorite barbecue here? We're coming up on 4th of July.
I'm gonna say brisket.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Brisket, maybe ribs sometimes, but. I like brisket a lot if it's smoked and has a great smoky flavor to it.
Final question. Fahrenheit 250. We remember the movie. It was Fahrenheit
451 by Ray Bradbury, the original book.
And that number was relative to the temperature that a book will burn.
Book will burn.
So is this the temperature that my ribs are going to burn?
Mark, do you have any extra prizes for Tom today? Because you are already a winner, Tom.
That's probably the perfect temperature for
it
you
is,
to cook.
You are correct, sir.
We are the Travel Guys. You are listening to us on KFBK. Mark Hoffman, Tom Romano, Steve LaRosa. LaRosa or LaRosa?
Zzz.
Steve LaRosa. See, I was right. We were talking about this earlier. And when we come back, Gwen Duncan is here from Cordially Yours Travel. We're going to talk about how the TSA is to you next couple of weeks and a few other important things here on the last segment of the Travel Guys.
If you ever plan to motor west,
go to Motor West, find those barbecue places. By the way, San Antonio, Texas, it's Rudy's Barbecue.
Rudy's.
One of my favorite. My son-in-law always digs through my suitcases when I get back. Did you bring me some? Did you bring me
Momo's
some?
Momo's and the Fahrenheit 451 thing. Fahrenheit 250. Now, see, you guys got me confused by going into the books and the movies and stuff
Fahrenheit
like that.
250.
Hey, before we get to our last guest here, Thomas, we need to, we have another piece of housekeeping we need to take
care of. Drum roll, please.
Winners, winners, and more winners. The winner of the Magic Bus entry last week, we asked people to enter online to win the first two seats. Next weekend, on 4th of July weekend, we're going to give away four more seats on the Magic Bus on the air next weekend.
Awesome.
So if you're driving around next weekend, listen.
For those that did not participate, tell them what they had to do online.
They had to go to travelguysradio.com and fill out the entry form, which is no longer there. Because we were just doing that for a week. So now you'll win by calling the program next week. So you'll be listening on our special 4th of July weekend show. Our winner, of the two.
Thank you
way
very
to go.
Much, drum roll.
The winner for two in the Magic Bus is Susan Flower. I thought that was pretty good. Susan Flower. She was...
Yeah.
She says that makes her the ultimate flower child. She was born and raised in the Sunset District of San Francisco, and she moved across the bay when she was 13 and hasn't been back to San Francisco. So she loves the show and wants to ride with us, and she signed her entry form, Peace Out. So
awesome.
I think
and she's a big history buff, so she'll really enjoy
Susan
this
Susan Flower from the mini. We had about 40 entries online, and some of them were very creative and very cool. And so, Susan, we'll contact you by email. You win two seats to travel with us on the Magic Bus on August the 2nd. And if you would like to be a part of that, you'll be listening next week. We will tell you how you can win your seats or how you can pay your way on board the Magic Bus. Our last guest today is Gwen Duncan of Cordially Yours Travel. Hi, Gwen.
Hello, Mark.
Hey, say hello to Tom, too.
Oh, hello, Tom. He's,
can you see
okay.
Gwen, or is she hidden by... We have a lot of
all
screens.
I see is orange over there.
Yeah, yes, and that's
sad orange, I'm
sad orange,
sad
yes.
Orange.
Sad, very sad orange, yes. Tom will probably put something over that when he goes outside or turn it wrong side out. Gwen is always here to talk to us about the deal of the week. But this week, instead of Deal of the Week, although I will throw in that, you know, people are always asking me, what's the best time of the year to go to Hawaii? And I will tell you now that for almost a month, the lowest airfares that I've seen for a long time. Now, if you're going to go to Hawaii for $300, forget about that because those days are over. But if you're willing to spend $500 to go to Hawaii, you can go in September, and a pretty wide choice of dates. You can even go on, you don't have to go Alaska or United. You can go and go to San Francisco or Los Angeles and then puddle jump over that way. But $500 is pretty cheap, and you're not going to find it. The first couple weeks of January, the first couple weeks of December, that's the only really other times that fares are that low, right, Gwen? And the weather in Hawaii is fine
right,
in September.
That's right. And out of Oakland, they've got some unbelievable prices for nonstops.
Yeah, if you're willing to drive to Oakland,
yes,
you can save $75.
Exactly.
Yeah, was that what would be the difference in September? $500 out of Sacramento, and then
four and a quarter, maybe $398 if you hit the right date. Out
yeah,
of Oakland.
If you hit the right date, you just never know.
What
Alaska every once in a while comes up with some really unbelievable $250 each direction stuff like that.
Are there particular days of the week to fly out and fly
the
back on?
The best day to fly out to Hawaii is Sunday or Monday or Tuesday.
Well, I'm willing to go to Oakland, so it's Tuesdays and Thursdays. I get nonstops. and I usually
is
go
that
to
Allegiant?
The outer.
Is that Allegiant?
No. That's Alaskan.
I couldn't fly Allegiant for $500.
And actually, Hawaiian Airlines is trying
to Hawaiian
meet
does
that.
A better job.
Yes, it does.
Hawaiian's got these wonderful commercials out about talking about why would you fly anybody else to Hawaii besides Hawaiian. And really, they're kind of right, because I've taken my group to Maui the last 2 years on Alaska. There's nothing wrong with it, but it just doesn't feel like Hawaii.
You get onto Alaska, you're going to end up in Alaska.
Well, that's it. You got the guy with the big...
It out.
Fur thing on top, the chief on there. It just doesn't, and they put the lay around his neck, but for some reason it's just, Hawaiian's got the wide-bodied planes, but if you're going to Maui, why then it makes no sense to fly to Honolulu and pay Hawaiian an extra $75 to take you over there and deal with an extra air. You know,
that's
That's all that, and that's what Alaska's playing off of, and it's working for them.
That's right.
Let's talk before we babble away the whole segment here. Let's talk about this TSA thing. The TSA fees are going up.
Yes, they are, and I've got a quote here, and it's from Mark Murphy. He's the CEO for Travel Pulse, and what he says is the fees keep coming as the government continues to use the travel industry as their own personal ATM.
I saw that quote too, and that's that's the case, Tom. Oftentimes with tourism entities, a lot of money, a lot of the hotel tax and stuff that's collected, you'd think that would go to promote tourism. No, it mostly goes into the general fund. And tourism people are lucky if they can get 1 or 2 tenths of a cent sometimes out of it to be able to promote tourism. So yes.
Yeah, and it sounds like it's only a little bit of money, because right now, presently, we're paying $250 for each segment, and so a round trip would be $5. And then if you had
a connection,
yeah, and with a connection, it'd be $10.
You'd pay $10. So with a connection, now you're going to pay $11.20. But if you don't have a connection, you're still going to pay
$11.20.
And these are fees that go to the TSA for providing their service. Is
only
that what
some
you're
of
about?
It? The rest goes to general fund.
Well, hypothetically, on your ticket, yes, they're TSA security fees. That's what they're showing as. So the fees are going up. And the argument is that the fees are going up, not necessarily because costs have gone up, but just because the government says it's time for them to go up.
What they're doing is they're redefining what a round trip is. And so the segments have gotten to where it could get a lot more complicated. Mark and I talked about this, but you could feasibly have an overseas flight and come back and be paying almost $27 in additional fees.
So, like I said at the beginning, grab your ankles and, you know, kind of things. So TSA fees are going up. That's for tickets bought after July the 21st. So if you buy a ticket now, you go to the airport, you're not going to get hit with an extra
fee. That's right. That's right. If you buy a ticket now and you have to change it after the 21st, you'll be added. They will add that fee.
So you're safe until then. Nobody's going to hit you for extra money at the airport or anything. Hey, listen, if I can just take 30 seconds here. If you're going to the airport, it's summertime. Allow yourself more time. Even if you're not traveling with a family, guess what? A lot of other people are. It slows down the whole process. It's just slower in the summertime. And people who didn't allow enough time and are trying to bully their way through the system, all they do is cause problems. Just allow yourself enough time when you're going to the airport. Figure out how much time it's going to take you to get through the airport and add 20 minutes.
Yes, that's very wise advice, because many times what happens is people who are inexperienced, you know, and being able to go through security, they don't know to take off their jackets, take off their shoes and everything. And so it just stalls.
Well,
the whole
TSA
thing
now sends people who aren't qualified to go through the TSA lane. And of course, when they get over there, they don't have any idea what they're supposed to do.
Pre-screen.
Which in essence screws down the never mind. Anyways,
By the way, one more note, this TSA fee is supposed to be going to towards paying more for the TSA for those people who actually use the services. But what's happening is with the business traveler, they either have pre-check or global entry, and they don't use the TSA. They just kind of wave right past them. So
Good point. So they're arguing that the people who use it the most should pay more for it, but the people who use it the most are using it less.
Do you encourage people to get pre-qualified or the pre-screens?
Absolutely, yes.
Even if it costs you a little bit.
TSA, what is it, $85 or something like that, Gwen?
You've
got to make an appointment and go over to Chippendale Street and meet with them. But it really is...
Global entry is $100, and
that's for worldwide. So if you're
worldwide
traveler,
right? Yeah, and then there's the pre-check.
If the TSA pre-check is a little cheaper if you're mostly a domestic traveler, but yes, if you can get it, it will save you a lot.
Yeah.
It save you time, and you don't have to take your belt off or your shoes off or things like that.
That's
Gwen,
right.
We're running out of time in this lovely segment. We were going to talk about travel aid. You went to Las Vegas quickly here. We've got just a quick time. Tell folks a couple of you got some good deals with Vegas with shows and rooms in the summertime. It's hot in Las Vegas.
Oh my gosh, yes. They've got the LVH has rooms at $20, $29, and you get 2 free show tickets. All kinds of stuff going on down there. They've got the new high roller ride that's grabbing attention.
Listen, we're running out of time, and Gwen has got 2 pages here because she's just spent some time in Las Vegas and some great deals in Las Vegas. If you go to travelguysradio.com, you can see the link there to Cordially Yours Travel, and you can link up with Gwen, and she will have all of these Vegas. There are really, Tom, there's some good deals here. I'm going to Las Vegas in a couple weeks to scout out a new... Ghost Towns tour in Nevada for Sports Leisure Vacations.
Awesome. Very good. See you next week on the Travel Guys. Gwen, Steve, Carol, thank you.
Carol, thanks everybody for coming in. Thank you, Tom.
See you at 3 next week.